disgrace to the profession, the world scientists in their own words on Michael E. Mann, his hockey stick, and their damage to science. Volume 1. Compiled and edited by Mark Stein. Illustrated by Josh. Narrated by Melissa Howes. Published by Stockade Books. All rights reserved. Scientist number 51. Quote, "Hit on the head with a hockey stick, and now we pay the price for these guys grabbing so much attention." Closed quote. Professor Joseph M. Prospero, Ph.D., Professor Emeritus at the University of Miami's Division of Marine and Atmospheric Chemistry and the Rosenthal School of Marine and Atmospheric Science. Author of peer-reviewed papers published in Atmospheric Chemistry and Physics, the Quarterly Journal of the Royal Meteorological Society, the Journal of North African Studies, and many more. Mark. On November 17, 2009, the University of East Anglia discovered that the email accounts of its climatic research unit had been breached. 2 days later, over 1,000 emails and 2,000 other documents were uploaded to the Internet, and, quote-unquote, ClimateGate, as the Telegraph's James Dellingpole dubbed it, was underway. Professor Prospero, emailing Susan Solomon at NOAA, reflected the view of many scientists who'd watched the hockey stick promoters with dismay. Subject: Hit on the head with a hockey stick. The mess at UEA is a disaster for the climate community. The paleo data always got a lot more attention from the general public than it deserved. And now we pay the price for these guys grabbing so much attention in the past, and especially now. But that aside, I think the climate community is in general doing a lousy job of getting information out to the public. Everything is left to the media to explain, and they often do it badly. Usually, it is simplified and exaggerated in such a way as to leave the community open to question. Example, the hockey stick. As things stand, the climate community is being clobbered. The climate community is handling this issue with the same degree of skill as Kerry handled the gunboat fiasco. Closed quote. Mark. Professor Prospero is correct that initially the, quote-unquote, climate community was unsure how to react. There was a more in-sorrow-than-in-anger tone in the first reactions from fellow scientists. Shortly after the ClimateGate emails were leaked, Dr. Peter Schleck sent, quote, an open letter to the climate community, close quote, that began, quote, "I am sure that most of you are aware of the incident that took place recently at the University of East Anglia's Climatic Research Unit, CRU. The identity of the whistleblower, or hacker, is still not known. For me, science is the search for truth, the never-ending path towards finding out how things are arranged in this world so that they can work as they do. That search is never finished. It seems that the climate research community has betrayed that mighty goal." Scientist number 52, quote, "There is a perceived need to prove that the current global average temperature is higher than it was at any other time. It became more important than scientific integrity." Close quote. Dr. Peter Schleck, Ph.D., researcher for Space and Remote Sensing Sciences at Los Alamos National Laboratory, fellow of the American Geophysical Union, of the Optical Society of America, and of the Los Alamos National Laboratory, former professor at Dalhousie University, the University of Oklahoma, Purdue University, and SUNY Albany. Dr. Schleck's post-ClimateGate open letter to the climate community addressed directly the Mann-Jones cabal's damage to science. Quote, "They have substituted the search for truth with an attempt at proving one point of view. It seems that some of the most prominent leaders of the climate research community, like prophets of old Israel, believed that they could see the future of humankind and that the only remaining task was to convince or force all others to accept and follow. Climate research made significant advancements during the last few decades. This includes the construction of the Headcrut and NASA GISS datasets documenting the rise of globally averaged temperature during the last century. I do not believe that this work can be affected in any way by the recent email revelations. Thus, the first of the three pillars supporting the hypothesis of man-made global warming seems to be solid. However, the two other pillars are much more controversial. To blame the current warming on humans, there was a perceived need to prove that the current global average temperature is higher than it was at any other time in recent history, the last few thousand years. This task is one of the main topics of the released CRU emails. Some people were so eager to prove this point that it became more important than scientific integrity. The next step was to show that this quote-unquote unprecedented high current temperature has to be a result of the increasing atmospheric concentration of carbon dioxide from the burning of fossil fuels. The fact that the atmosphere-ocean general circulation models are not able to explain the post-1970 temperature increase by natural forcing was interpreted as proof that it was caused by humans. It is more logical to admit that the models are not yet good enough to capture natural climate variability. Thus, two of the three pillars of the global warming and carbon dioxide paradigm are open to reinvestigation. The damage has been done. The public trust in climate science has been eroded. So what comes next? Let us stop making unjustified claims and exaggerated projections about the future, even if the editors of some eminent journals are just waiting to publish them. Let us admit that our understanding of the climate is less perfect than we have tried to make the public believe. Let us drastically modify or temporarily discontinue the IPCC. Only open discussion and intense searching of all possibilities will let us regain the public's trust and move forward. Close quote. Scientist number 53, quote, "The final stage of corruption, cover-up, had taken hold." Close quote. Professor Jerome Rivets, Ph.D., Associate Fellow of the Institute for Science, Innovation, and Society at the University of Oxford, co-creator of the NUSAP notational system for uncertain information, and developer of the theory of post-normal science, former member of the Genetic Manipulation Advisory Group, former visiting scientist at the European Commission Joint Research Center, and director of the Council for Science and Society. Honorary Senior Research Fellow of the Department of Science and Technology Studies at University College London. Senior Fellow of the Green Center for Science and Society at the University of Texas, Dallas. Visiting professor at Fudan University in Shanghai. Mark. When ClimateGate broke, Professor Rivets, a man of the left, compared the climate community's deceptions to Tony Blair's famously sexed-up dossier justifying war against Saddam's Iraq. Quote, "Politics will doubtless survive, for it is not a fiduciary institution, but for science the dangers are real. ClimateGate is particularly significant because it cannot be blamed on the well-known malign influences from outside science, be they greedy corporations or an unscrupulous state. This scandal and the resulting crisis was created by people within science." Closed quote. As Professor Rivets understood, were ClimateGate to result in a serious discrediting of global warming claims, it would be the community of science itself that was damaged. The problem, as he saw it, was the embrace of, quote-unquote, evangelical science. Quote, "They propounded, as a proven fact, anthropogenic carbon-based global warming. There is little room for uncertainty in this thesis. It effectively needs hockey stick behavior in all indicators of global temperature, so that it is all due to industrialization." Close quote. But the hockey stick itself had run into what Professor Rivets called increasingly severe problems. Quote, "It relied totally on a small set of deeply uncertain tree ring data for the medieval period, to refute the historical evidence of a warming then, but it needed to discard that sort of data for recent decades, as they showed a sudden cooling from the 1960s onwards. Close quote. The cause had now become another crusading war, like those on drugs and terror. Close quote. Quote, "This new war on carbon was equally simplistic and equally prone to corruption and failure. Global warming science became the core element of this major worldwide campaign to save the planet. Any weakening of the scientific case would have amounted to a betrayal of the good cause. All critics, even those who were full members of the scientific peer community, had to be derided and dismissed. As we learned from the CRU emails, they were not considered to be entitled to the normal courtesies of scientific sharing and debate. And as one witty blogger has put it, peer review was replaced by pal review. Details of shoddy science and dirty tricks abound. By the end, the committed inner core were confessing to each other that global temperatures were falling, but it was far too late to change course. The final stage of corruption, cover-up, had taken hold." Close quote. Scientist number 54. Quote, "These researchers are guilty of brazen fraud." Close quote. Professor Zygmunt Jaworowski, Ph.D., 1927 to 2011. Chairman of the UN Scientific Committee on the Effects of Atomic Radiation and of the Scientific Council of the Central Laboratory for Radiological Projection in Warsaw. Principal investigator for four research projects of the International Atomic Energy Agency and three of the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. Author of peer-reviewed papers published by Nature and other journals. Mark. Other scientists were blunter than Chylik or even Revetz. In December 2009, Professor Jaworowski gave an interview about ClimateGate to Mariusz Bober of the Polish daily Our Journal. Quote, question, "This means that the scientists who are responsible for research in this field lied to frighten people about a coming apocalypse? Why?" Jaworowski, indeed, these researchers are guilty of brazen fraud, bringing us into a trap which has dire consequences. For many years, they have been incredibly confident, ignoring any criticism of their arguments. But they had the overwhelming support of the United Nations, and specifically the IPCC, the United Nations group charged with examining the impact of human activities on climate change, which takes the lead in all this confusion. Question. You are not afraid of revenge from the warming lobby? Jaworowski. Now I am 82 years old, and the financial consequences of the views which I preach are not of importance to me. But among researchers who share my views, there are not many younger scientists, especially those who have families dependent on them, who can afford to support such views. Close quote. Professor Jaworowski chose to end on an optimistic note. Quote, Jaworowski, "This illustrates how credulous the public and politicians have been for decades. They were falsely made to believe that they were well-informed with 90% certainty and full scientific consensus." Exclamation point! ClimateGate might become a catharsis, a bitter medicine that will free science and the public from the gloomy climatic phantom, save the world from global economic disaster, and allow us to enjoy the golden gift of nature, our modern warm period. Let it last long. Close quote. Mark. It would be easy for the somewhat insular climate community to dismiss Jaworowski as a fringe foreigner, far from the big Anglo-American climate action. But on December 10, 2009, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology chaired what it billed as the Great Climate Gate Debate between five of its professors. As Professor Michael Kelly commented in his notes to the Oxborough Inquiry, quote, "Three of the five MIT scientists who commented in the week before Copenhagen on the leaked emails thought that they saw prima facie evidence of unprofessional activity." Close quote. Among them was the prominent and respected professor, Ronald Prin. Scientist number 55. Quote, I was disturbed. The discussions between Michael Mann and Phil Jones simply disturbed me, closed quote. Professor Ronald G. Prin, SCD. TEPCO Professor of Atmospheric Science in the Department of Earth, Atmospheric, and Planetary Sciences at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, and also Director of MIT's Center for Global Change Science and co-director of its joint program on the science and policy of global change. Fellow of the American Geophysical Union and recipient of its Massillon Medal. Fellow of the American Association for the Advancement of Science and its former chairman for Atmospheric and Hydrospheric Sciences. Former chairman of the U.S. National Research Committee on Earth Sciences and the U.S. Global Tropospheric Chemistry Program, and member of its Space Science Board and Committee for the International Geosphere Biosphere Program. Former member of the NASA Earth System Sciences Committee and the Space Science and Applications Advisory Committee. IPCC lead author. Mark. On December 10, 2009, Professor Prin was one of five faculty to participate in MIT's Great Climate Debate. Quote, "The first question I've asked myself is, are some of these emails unprofessional? I've particularly looked at the set of emails that revolved around what was called the hockey stick, and I was disturbed. The discussions between Michael Mann and Phil Jones about the work of Stephen McIntyre and McKittrick in particular, whether you believe that McIntyre and McKittrick were right or wrong, it simply disturbed me. Looking at those emails to see the personal nature of the discussion between these folks at the University of East Anglia and Penn State. So are some of the emails unprofessional? My answer is yes, they are. Is public perception of climate science affected? My answer is yes, it is." Close quote. As for the hockey stick, quote, "There's a significant case to be made for the temperature being highest in recent times and the century scale rate of rise of temperatures being highest in the last 100 years. That's the, quote-unquote, blade. In other words, the blade, I think, has survived the scrutiny. But as I've already pointed out or intimated, it's unclear whether the, quote-unquote, handle is straight or broken." Close quote. Mark. The Q&A that followed the professor's remarks had some memorable moments. The second questioner, a member of the MIT faculty, felt the ethical situation had been given short shrift and that the professional societies needed to get involved. With respect to Mann, Jones, et al., their papers should be retracted. Professor Stephen Anselbert cooed blandly, quote, "Everybody here who's a faculty member at MIT used this as a teachable moment on ethics, on data recording, on everything about your scientific method. It's a great example for your students," close quote. But oddly enough, that never happened. Scientist number 56, quote, "There's no point in any scientific group endorsing this. We are not crooks. And yet, if we endorse this, we are becoming that." Close quote. Professor Richard Lindzen, Ph.D. Alfred P. Sloan, Professor of Meteorology at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology and distinguished visiting scientist at the California Institute of Technology's Jet Propulsion Laboratory. Fellow of the American Geophysical Union and recipient of its Massillon Medal. Fellow of the American Meteorological Society and recipient of its Massinger and Charney Awards. Fellow of the American Academy of Arts and Sciences and of the American Association for the Advancement of Sciences. Member of the National Academy of Sciences, the European Geophysical Society, and the Norwegian Academy of Science and Letters. And first recipient of the Wallen Foundation's Leo Prize. IPCC lead author. Like Professor Prin, Professor Lindzen was one of five faculty members on the panel of MIT's Great Climate Debate. Quote, "What we're here to talk about are these emails and computer code, a total of over 3,000 documents that someone, for some reason, revealed. The likelihood is it's a whistleblower who couldn't take it anymore. Now, that is speculation. But the documents themselves are not speculation. They are unambiguously dealing with things that are unethical and in many cases illegal. There is no point in any scientific group endorsing this. We are not crooks, and yet if we endorse this, we are becoming that. We have scientists manipulating raw temperature data. The refusal to allow outsiders access to data, the willingness to destroy data rather than release it, the avoidance of freedom of information requests, the discussion on preventing publication was cute. There is another issue, though. Since I think very few people can actually read these documents and not conclude that there were bad things going on, the question is, what will it do to popular support for science? There is a diminishing popular support for this issue. That is common. Very often, there are distinct differences in the way ordinary people see things and the way the quote-unquote educated elite do. Somebody was mentioning this is not mass hysteria, this is elite hysteria. But you know, ordinary people vote, and most of us are funded by their taxes. And so the notion that science, one, is subject to cheating and distortion, and two, if Kerry is right that this is supported and endorsed by the professional societies, it's going to be devastating for popular support of science. I think we should be very cautious about this. Close quote. Mark. The first question demanded to know of Richard Lindzen, what would be found if people went through all of your emails and letters over the past 30 years? Professor Lindzen seemed indifferent to the prospect. Quote, there would be things that you know might be personal, but there is nothing in any email I have ever written that compares to what is in these, at all. I would not object to any of mine being searched. Close quote. Scientist number 57, quote, that's no way to do science, close quote. Professor James Lovelock, CHCBE, FRS, PhD. Scientist, inventor, and originator of the Gaia hypothesis. Companion of honor, commander of the most excellent order of the British Empire, and fellow of the Royal Society. Recipient of 3 NASA certificates of recognition for his various inventions, including the electron capture detector and the microwave oven. Recipient of the highest award of the Geological Society, the Wollaston Medal, whose previous recipients include Charles Darwin, the Discovery Lifetime Award from the Royal Geographical Society, the Dr. A. H. Heineken Prize for the Environment, the Norbert Gerbier Prize from the World Meteorological Society, the first Amsterdam Prize for the Environment from the Royal Netherlands Academy of Arts and Sciences, the Zwett Medal for Chromatography, the Silver Medal from the Plymouth Marine Laboratory, and the American Chemical Society's Award for Chromatography. Former President of the Marine Biological Association. Mark. On March 29, 2010, the Gaia man himself, James Lovelock, gave a wide-ranging interview to The Guardian, beginning with his reaction to ClimateGate. Quote, I was utterly disgusted. My second thought was that it was inevitable. It was bound to happen. Science, not so very long ago, pre-1960s, was largely vocational. Back when I was young, I didn't want to do anything else other than be a scientist. They're not like that nowadays. They don't give a damn. They say science is a good career. You can get a job for life doing government work. That's no way to do science. That's no way to do science. Fudging the data in any way whatsoever is quite literally a sin against the Holy Ghost of science. I'm not religious, but I put it that way because I feel so strongly. It's the one thing you do not ever do. You've got to have standards. I would only have been too pleased if someone had asked me for my data. If you really believed in your data, you wouldn't mind someone looking at it. You should be able to respond that if you don't believe me, go out and do the measurements yourself. You don't hide data. Close quote. Yet man did. For years. On climate skeptics, Professor Lovelock had this to say, quote, what I like about skeptics is that in good science you need critics that make you think, crumbs, have I made a mistake here? If you don't have that continuously, you really are up the creek. The great climate science centers around the world are more than well aware how weak their science is. If you talk to them privately, they're scared stiff of the fact that they don't really know what the clouds and the aerosols are doing. So why on earth are the politicians spending a fortune of our money, when we can least afford it, on doing things to prevent events 50 years from now? They've employed scientists to tell them what they want to hear. The Germans and the Danes are making a fortune out of renewable energy. I'm puzzled why politicians are not a bit more pragmatic about all this. We do need skepticism about the predictions about what will happen to the climate in 50 years or whatever. It's almost naive, scientifically speaking, to think we can give relatively accurate predictions for future climate. There are so many unknowns that it's wrong to do it. Close quote. Scientist number 58. Quote, what I don't like about this is that someone took out some climate data to make the record look, quote-unquote, better. That's a no-no. Close quote. Dr. William A. Sprigg, Ph.D., research professor at the Department of Atmospheric Sciences, the Institute of Atmospheric Physics, and the Department of Soil, Water, and Environmental Sciences at the University of Arizona. Consultant to the World Meteorological Organization. Director of the CNOUS Centers for Soil and Water Conservation and Environmental Protection. Former co-principal investigator for the NASA REASON Project. Mark. A few weeks after the ClimateGate emails were released, Dr. Sprigg spoke at the 13th Energy and Environment Expo in Phoenix. Quote, focusing closely on the ClimateGate scandal in which leaked emails revealed IPCC gatekeepers hid, manipulated, and destroyed scientific data that contradicted claims of substantial human-induced global warming, Sprigg said the scandal has harmed the movement's scientific credibility. Sprigg highlighted, as particularly embarrassing, an email from University of East Anglia Climatic Research Unit climatologist Phil Jones, instructing Penn State University climatologist Michael Mann and two others not to tell people the United Kingdom has a Freedom of Information Act. Sprigg called for full and open sharing of data for research and education. Close quote. Mark. Dr. Sprigg also commented on Mike's nature trick to hide the decline. Quote, what I don't like about this is that someone took out some climate data to make the record look better. That's a no-no, said Sprigg. During the question and answer period, Sprigg said IPCC should undergo substantial reform in the wake of ClimateGate, GlacierGate, AmazonGate, and other recent scandals. There will be some reforms, he said. There will be changes in the peer review process. There are calls for IPCC Chair Rajendra Pachauri to resign. Sprigg's observations are particularly noteworthy because he held such an important role with IPCC, and he is not one of the skeptics who have strongly challenged IPCC and its claims of human activity creating a global warming crisis. During his presentation, Sprigg said the lack of warming in the past 10 years does not mean global warming has stopped or is no longer a concern. Don't get excited if temperatures go down in the next year or two, said Sprigg. Close quote. Mark. As Dr. Sprigg demonstrated, there is no contradiction between believing in anthropogenic global warming and being revolted by the conduct of Mann, Jones, and others. In fact, honest proponents of the CO2 hypothesis have most to lose from the damage done by the hockey team.